We are studying some of David's Psalms this summer, so let me invite you to open to the book of Psalms, and we're looking at Psalm 25. Psalm 25. This psalm is an acrostic psalm. You won't notice that in your English or your French Bibles, but in the Hebrew Bible, every line of this psalm starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So when David wrote this psalm, he spent some time trying to figure out, well, if it was in English, what sentence can I use that starts with A, and then what sentence starts with B, and then what sentence starts with C. And so that's the way he built this particular poem, this particular psalm. And part of what that means as we try to interpret it is we have to realize that the way he put things together was determined by the alphabet. So it's kind of it's a mixture. It's not like it has a steady plot like some of the Psalms do, but it expresses truths in something of a random order. But let's read it, and then we'll pray and dig in. Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. For they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He teaches the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him he will instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Heavenly Father, as we turn to this psalm now and study it and spend some time considering what David wrote, we ask that you would teach us, that you would instruct us, that you would show us the way we should go. For your glory, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I started to look at this psalm, there was an image that popped into my mind that I just couldn't escape. Maybe you remember the movie Star Wars. I'm old enough to remember when it first came out, when there was only the Star Wars movie. I feel bad for young people because they didn't experience the first Star Wars movie the way those of us with gray hair did. Because that first movie was, well, for lack of a better term, light years ahead of anything else that had ever been created. It was astonishing. It was the jump in terms of technical production was huge. And that's one of the reasons why it was so popular. But this particular scene, if you'll remember it from the movie, you have Luke and Hans and Princess Leia and Chewie stuck in a giant trash compactor. And the walls are squeezing in on them. And there was a phrase in this psalm that reminded me of this scene. Because David says that the troubles of his heart are enlarged. And I pictured the troubles like the two walls of the trash compactor, and they're squeezing in on his heart. They're squeezing him. And I think it doesn't take much. Now, I doubt that any of us here have been stuck in a giant garbage compactor. I don't know if you've ever been. And if you have, I'd love to talk to you about it. But I think many of us have felt like we were. We've felt like the circumstances of our life were pressing in. The pressures of our situation were weighing heavily on us. We wondered how we would ever, ever escape. Sometimes the situations in life are serious. You know, anybody who came across your situations would go, "Oh my, that's big." But I've noticed, too, that sometimes, at least in my life, it's not one or two big situations that cause me to feel squeezed. Sometimes it's multiple little things. And when those little things start pressing in on me, it doesn't seem like they add one on top of another. They seem to multiply their impact. And it just seems to squeeze into life. David mentions several different things that are happening to him. He says he has enemies. He has enemies. And David, when he speaks of enemies, he has enemies that are out to destroy him. These aren't just people that are giving him a hard time at work. David had a boss one time that literally tried to kill him. Threw a spear at him, tried to kill him. These were the kind of enemies that David had. As a king, he had other countries that would try to invade and would try to kill him. He wound up running for his life on several occasions. And we'll look at some of those as we go through these psalms. But David had very, very real enemies. In addition, David felt guilt. We'll see later this summer, David had committed adultery. David had committed murder. He had ordered an innocent man killed in order to cover up his adultery. And David carried that sense of guilt with him. He feels lonely and afflicted. He feels like there's no one else in the whole world that really cares about him, There's no one else who understands what he's going through. And I think some of you have been there. I know I've been there. You can be surrounded by people and yet feel completely alone. Alone facing the problems that you're facing. Nobody else can understand. No one else can help. And you just feel alone. It's a terrible place to be. And David was there. He had been there. He knew affliction and trouble. And he had foes and enemies that were trying to kill him. David felt the pressures of his circumstances pressing in around him. And David's reflecting on this as he writes this particular psalm. And so it's a psalm that he's writing in part to reflect on what he knows about God in those circumstances. And so imagine yourself in that giant trash compactor, and what should you do? And here's what David does. He says, I need to remember who God is. And I need to remember that God loves. That in spite of the terrible circumstances that I'm in, God loves me. And he refers several times to the steadfast love of the Lord. It never ceases. It existed from before time began. The steadfast love of the Lord towards you has not stopped. And the steadfast love of the Lord will be there for you tomorrow. And it will be there the next day. Remember the steadfast love of the Lord. He provides. He cares for you. He watches over you. He knows all about the circumstances that you are in. He knows all about the giant trash compactor that you feel is squeezing your life right now. He knows and he cares. He also knows that God saves. He refers several times in this psalm to the Lord being his salvation. There are several words that are used in this psalm for that concept of salvation. One of them simply means he is the one who provides for needs. He's the one who knows what we need and provides for it. It's a term that's used of God providing for the animals, their needs. He knows and he cares about you, and he will provide for your needs, even in the trash compactor. But it also means, there's another word that means that he is our deliverer. He's the one who brings us out of the trash compactor. He's the one who saves us from the situation. And so when we're in the trash compactor, when we feel that we're being pressed in, we know, David says, that God is the one who will save us. God is the one who will deliver us. God is the one who will see us through it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no trial, no temptation, no garbage compactor has come upon you except what is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond what you can bear. But when you are tested. He will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He is our salvation. David says, remember that. Remember, he loves. Remember that he is our Savior. He is our salvation. And remember that he is one who delights to teach us. He is the one who delights to show you his ways. He wants to instruct you. He wants you to know more about him and more about life. It's who he is. He says he leads the humble in what is right. And teaches the humble his ways. The entire Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit to teach us the ways of God. And when that trash compactor begins squeezing in, think of it as being learning time. Learning time. Uh-oh, we're back in school. God has something he wants to teach us about his ways. He wants to teach us about who he is. He wants to teach us about how we are to live. And that's one of the reasons why we're experiencing the things that we're experiencing. So that he can teach us. He is one who loves to teach us. One of the most astounding verses here is verse 14, where it says, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant." The translators had a hard time translating the word friendship because it refers to a special relationship where confidences are told to one another. The friendship of the Lord in this verse does not mean that God friends you on Facebook. Okay? That's not what it means. It's not like, oh, I've got a friend of Jesus right here. I look him up, show you his profile picture, and you know. No, the friendship that is indicated by this verse is the friendship, like the friend that you have, that you talk about things that you would never talk about on Facebook. The type of friend that you have that knows everything about you, knows your fears, knows your hopes, knows your plans. The type of friend that you can process things with, that you can talk about with. It's a special, deep type of relationship, where you are sharing confidences with one another. Okay? That's what the term means. Well, wait a minute. Do you understand this? David is saying that he's discovered something. He's discovered the type of relationship with God where God and he are exchanging confidences with one another. They're exchanging thoughts with one another. They are talking to one another as best friends. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. And that term fear means not being scared like of a monster, but being reverent and being in awe of and wanting to obey because you're madly in love. And there's this depth to the relationship where it is the most important relationship in the world to you. And in that relationship, God is revealing more and more of himself to you. It's a friendship that's depth has no bottom to it. And David is continually learning more and more about the Lord. David says, remember, God loves you. God saves you. God wants to teach you. And God wants to have a friendship with you. God wants to confide in you. These are the themes of what David is trying to teach us through this psalm. In spite of the trash compactor in life, know this about who God is. And David prays. And David prays. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, for those who walk in his ways. And David says, oh my, oh my, I have sinned, I have done wrong. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. And that's where we need to really begin. Saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. Forgive me for the attitudes of my heart. Forgive me for thinking that I know better than you how to do life. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive my lustful thoughts. Forgive my greed, my selfishness. Lord, forgive me. For my sin is great. John, who knew Jesus better than anyone, writes in his first letter, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We need to regularly be confessing our sins to God. We grew up, Janet and I grew up in a tradition of the church, which as part of their Sunday morning practice, there was a prayer of confession that we all said together, saying that we were sinners and then there was the pastor would have some type of absolution saying that your sins have been forgiven. And frankly, for me, it was pretty rote. It was just you go through the routine. When we were in school in the United States, our school day, when I was growing up, started with saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And I can remember why that meant so much to me. Me and my friends, we would try to say it as fast as we possibly could. We would try to get the entire thing said by the time the teacher got through, I pledge allegiance. So we tried to get the whole pledge done in that short period of time. I mean, it was just go through it. And that's kind of the way church was for me growing up. You just go through it. But there was value in the reminder that it's important to confess our sins to God. And many times in churches that I've been a part of since then, which are not liturgical type of churches, it's all about how good we're doing. And that reminder that we're sinners saved by grace sometimes gets lost. And so David in this psalm talks about the trash compactor. He talks about who God is. And then by example, he says, seek forgiveness for your sins. Come clean before God. Have a pure heart with him. It's an important reminder. And he prays for salvation. He says, Lord, get me out of this trash compactor. Lord, deliver me from this. Be my victory. Be the one who sets me free. It says in verse 5, you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. I wait for you, Lord. In verse 20 or 19, it says, consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. The Lord is my salvation, so I wait for him to save me. In the midst of this trash compactor, I am confident that God is going to deliver me, and so I wait for him. My eyes are looking to him for my salvation. Why is that important? Did you notice David said in verse 21, may integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. One of the things that I've noticed about times that life is pressing in, when the trash compactor is squeezing and the troubles of my heart are enlarged, one of the things I've noticed is usually somewhere along the line, Satan dangles something in front of me that says, here's the way you can get out of this. Here's the way you can relieve the pressure. Here it is. Just compromise. Just lie. Just cheat, and the pressure will go away. I remember when we were first married, I spent some time as an insurance salesman, selling life insurance. I wasn't very good at it, honestly. And as a result, wasn't making very much money. And we were feeling the pressure of that. And I was talking to one potential customer and about his situation. And there was a way that I would be able to sell him an insurance policy or a big commission. Some of the financial pressure would go off. The problem was he wasn't very healthy. And insurance companies don't like to insure unhealthy people. My boss said, "Oh, that's simple. When you fill out the application, you have to ask him all of these health questions. Don't actually mark the application. So when he tells you his health history, that's bad, or, you know, the heart attacks he's had and everything else, don't put that on the application." And then have him sign the blank application and fill it in when you get back to the office. You know, "Have I ever had a heart attack?" "No," even though he's had three. He said, "Because my boss said, chances are he will live for 4 or 5 more years. Your commission will all be vested then. And if he dies, you can just say, well, he told me he didn't have a heart attack. I didn't know. You just lie about it." There was this big commission I could have had if I had lied. But I didn't lie. I didn't lie. But it was dangled in front of me. And I knew that following that lie was not the way God was going to deliver us from the financial pressure that we felt. Okay? So remembering that God is our Savior, that God is the one who is going to deliver us, helps us to walk uprightly and with integrity. Because it's not our deviousness that will get us out of the situation. God will deliver us. Amen? God is our salvation. So David prays, "Lord, deliver me. Deliver me from this." And then David prays again and again for direction. Verse 4, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long." He knows that the Lord delights in teaching. And so he prays, "Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me." You know how humbling it is to say that? To really say, "teach me," means admitting, "I don't know the answer." And many of us spend our entire lives trying to be in the position where we always know the answer. Isn't that true? We always want to appear that we know what's going on and we're in control. And to say, "teach me, show me the way," admits, "I don't know it all. I don't know it all." Some of you are here in this city now, in part because God wants to deal with this very issue in your life. One of the most humbling things in my life was moving here and not knowing a word of French. Well, I lied. I knew bonjour, que sera, sera, just some other goofy things that, you know. You know, and if you don't know the language, it's pretty humbling. It's pretty humbling to not be able to do anything. And some of you are here because God wants to bring a measure of humility in your life so that you will be more willing to say to Him, Lord, teach me. Show me your ways. I think I know, but I don't. So teach me and show me your ways. Teach me to speak your language. Teach me to live according to the culture of the kingdom, not according to my own culture. Teach me to love the way you love. Teach me to forgive the way you forgive. Teach me the generosity that you want me to have. Teach me the holiness that you want me to walk in. Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. David prays these prayers as examples for us as to how we are to pray. Lord, forgive my sins. Lord, be my Savior. Lord, teach me. Teach me. And God is a God who forgives because of what He did for us on the cross. Forgiveness is available to us. God is a God who delights to save and to deliver. Many times He does it in a way that only He gets the glory. Only He gets the praise. And He is a God who delights to teach the humble His way. So humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, and He will lift you up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this psalm. Lord, I pray right now that you would minister to our hearts. Lord, that you would show yourself to be our Savior, that you would show yourself to be the one who can forgive us and cleanse us from guilt, that you would show us that you are the one who wants to teach us. Lord, show us. Father, I pray right now, particularly for those who are in the trash compactor. Lord, I pray that they would look to you, that they would look to you for salvation, that they would wait on you. Lord, that you would show them your ways, that you would show them what you want them to do in the midst of the difficulties they're facing. Teach them. Show them. Lord, we pray that you would deliver them from the trash compactor, deliver them out of that situation. Be their Savior, Lord. Lord, for those in the room that know You, Lord, I pray that this idea of friendship, of You being a God that wants to confide in us, that You are a God that wants to show us the depth of Your covenant with us. Lord, I pray that that idea would create within us a hunger for the knowledge of You. Lord, a hunger to go deeper in our relationship with You. That we wouldn't shrug our shoulders and say, yeah, I know Jesus. But there would be this immense desire to deepen our walk with You. Lord, I know that's Your will. And so I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.